One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Thunder. Yo, tell me whose time it is now. Yeah, just kicking it up here.
It is Monday, February the 2nd, 2015. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net, G-E-R-W-E-C-K.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your wrestling news since 1997. And we welcome you to the latest edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. And I'm very happy and pleased to welcome back my longtime tag team partner back from being under the weather, Frank D.
Hey, what's up, everybody out there? It's great to be back here on the GRP. First thing I want to do is to send a special shout-out to all the Facebook group members of the GRP that commented there on the thread that Steve posted about me being under the weather. All the people that left the kind words, Frank D really appreciates that 100%. And you guys already know what I do because a lot of you I've talked to personally on the phone, whether through text message or whatever. So I really appreciate that, and thank you for your continued support. Right now, I want to get some shills out the way. First of all, you go over to Gerwick.net. That's G-E-R-W-E-C-K.net for the latest pro wrestling news. Take part in our rosters and polls right now. And one of the polls going out right now is Roman Reigns ready for the main event? And that's one of the things that, you know, we discussed on the last of GRPC as related to the Royal Rumble outcome, which we're going to talk about today since you were on the show last week. Also right now, the Gerwick Report podcast has a brand new sponsor in Audible. So go right now to audibletrial.com/gerwick.net. You can get a free audiobook for 30 days. Even if you don't sign up for the service and keep the service, you still get to keep that audiobook. And right now, Frank D is currently listening to Stephen King's Christine. I've also listened to a couple other books. It's a very, very good deal right now, and it actually helps the podcast. So check it out right now, audibletrial.com/gerwick.net. Put your info on there. Sign up for the free 30-day trial. If you don't keep the service, you still get to keep the audiobook. And they got a lot of books up there, over 150,000 titles, I understand. And they got a lot of wrestling books up there, a lot of nonfiction, a lot of fiction. It's really, really good. I mean, I use it when I'm at work, and it's actually cool to hear somebody narrate a book. So check it out right now, audibletrial.com/gerwick.net. Also, check us out at YouTube right now. The YouTube channel is up and running with Eric Bischoff, Part 1 and 2, Ricardo Rodriguez, Vince Russo, you name it, we have it up there right now. That's youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Also, check our show out on Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. We currently have some clips running up also at youtube.com/TV Tracks. So, Steve, we're all over the place right now.
I also want to plug that over the weekend, I guess another tag team partner of ours for the show, Atlee Green actually conducted an interview with Smith Hart from the legendary Hart family, the eldest son of Stu and Helen Hart. You can check that out at Gerwick.net or our partners that Frank D just plugged. And real quickly with Audible, I know you've talked about, you've listened to books on Audible, a lot of wrestling titles out there. In fact, didn't you say you were listening to the Chris Jericho book on Audible?
Yeah, I listened to the Chris Jericho book before, and it's really, really good book. I have to admit that I'm not the biggest Chris Jericho fan, but I did listen to his book, The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea. And that's what it's called. That's what the book's called.
I see.
Yeah. It wasn't me taking a shot at Jericho. That's actually what it's called. So it was actually pretty good listen. I really enjoyed it. It's really good. And right now, like I said, I'm listening to Stephen King's Christine, because I'm a big, anybody out there who knows Frank D, you know, Ephraim out there, knows I'm a big horror movie fan, so Christine is a movie I was a fan of, and it's actually kind of cool to listen to the book and get a different perspective on that movie and realize, John Carpenter didn't take a lot from the script, or he didn't actually take a lot from the novel and put it into the movie. He was kind of lackadaisical with that. So anyways, make a long story short, check us out right now, audibletrial.com/gorick.net. Like I said, you go on there, get your free audio book, sign up for the service for 30 days. If you don't keep the service, you're still going to keep the book. So it's a win-win.
I think very soon, Frank, we've had a lot of people ask about T-shirts.
Okay.
You know, when can I get my Gorick Report T-shirt? And I think very soon we'll have an announcement about that as well.
Absolutely. So stay tuned to it. You know, we said in 2015 that we were going to be doing bigger and better things, and that's coming. We're doing a lot more, you know, going to do a lot more interviews here in 2015. I mean, look what we've given you so far already. We've given you Stevie Richards. We've given you Eric Bischoff. We've given you Jeff Jarrett. So stay tuned because we got a lot more coming.
And Stevie Richards will be back by popular demand. I was just looking at the numbers, and the numbers we got for the Stevie Richards interview were pretty phenomenal. So we kind of got cut off with him because we had another interview to do as well that day. But Stevie will be back, and I know Stevie's looking forward to coming back as well. A lot of things to talk about with him. Very interesting guy.
Oh, absolutely. Very interesting guy, and it was a very interesting conversation before we even recorded. So that's the thing about it. It was very interesting before we even got started. So we're going to try to take some of that flow and bring it on here to the show. So it would be very good.
And I'll already throw it out. If you have a question for Stevie Richards, I'm not exactly sure when we'll get him on, but we're working on getting part two with him very shortly. If you have a question for Stevie Richards, a number of things you could ask him. He was in WWF. He was in TNA. He was in ECW, the original ECW with Paul Heyman. So a lot of things to pick his brain about. So if you have a question you'd like us to ask Mr. Richards when he does return, definitely hit us up as well. But, Frank, it's been a while since we've talked, and the last official show that you did hosting was the Royal Rumble Fallout show right after the Royal Rumble. You did a live show with Atlee Green and Cassidy Ashe, which I really enjoyed. You were giving your thoughts on the Royal Rumble, and, of course, it was a night that Frank D. was not feeling very good, and somehow you were a soldier and you got through the show, and I'm sure watching the Royal Rumble pay-per-view itself didn't help very much as well. Quickly, my thoughts, the undercard was very underwhelming, except for, of course, the WWE Championship match with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins and John Cena. I agreed with your guys' assessment. Seth Rollins gets it, main event player for sure in the future with WWE. Very good match. It's going to be disappointing to see Brock Lesnar actually leave WWE if he does go to UFC, as you know, heavily rumored. And then came that Royal Rumble match itself, which, boy, just the way they laid it out. And they had the early surprises with DDP and Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray came back, and the Boogeyman were out there. But I agreed with what Atlee said. I was really surprised they didn't play the DDP self-high five music. That would definitely help his pop. Very disappointed the way they portrayed or booked Daniel Bryan. Of course, he was the sentimental favorite. A lot of people wanted him to win last year's Royal Rumble. It didn't happen. A lot of people thought he would win this year's Royal Rumble. Again, it didn't happen. I was really surprised, too, that he didn't last to the 20s. Daniel Bryan was in early and out before they even got to the final 10 entrants. But I was very disappointed to see the final four. I was really disappointed to see the Big Show and Kane in that final four mix. And I like Roman Reigns, but just not as a main event player right now, Frank. I just don't see him getting over. I don't see him clicking with the fans in terms of taking that next step and climbing the ladder to the top of the card, top of the roster. And I think they got a lot of work to do making Roman Reigns come off as a main event player in WWE.
You know, here's the thing, and I keep, you know, going back to this whenever we do a podcast here. You know, the problem with Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns hasn't evolved yet. Roman Reigns is still doing the Shield shtick and everything from the entrance to the wrestling attire. Everything about him screams the Shield. Whenever you look at Seth Rollins, this guy has matured on to being a top-level heel in the company, to being Mr. Money in the Bank. He goes out there and puts on a 5-star match every single night that he's out there. You know, a lot of people don't like Seth Rollins for whatever reason, but you know, when Seth Rollins is on the card, you're going to get a damn good match. You already know that for a fact. Dean Ambrose is another one. Ambrose has went from being that mercenary in the Shield to now he is basically on his own. He's the lunatic fringe. He's, you know, he's been gimmicked that, and it works for him. Roman Reigns, on the other hand, this guy has just been, I don't know, man. It's just something about him. That like I said before, Superman punch looks ridiculous, man. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. It just looks dumb. The whole entrance with the Shield music and everything is the guy is just stuck in the Shield. Hasn't evolved, like I said. And that's one of the biggest problems with Roman Reigns. He just hasn't evolved into fighting himself. And that's going to hurt him. And on top of that, the thing about it, too, is that Roman Reigns just came back from an injury. Now, if you look at Roman Reigns before this happened, you just know Roman Reigns for doing six-man tag matches, doing some tag matches. But has Roman Reigns really ever had that big singles match for you to say, yeah, this guy right here is the man. This guy right here deserves to be the number one contender. He deserves to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I don't see it. He hasn't had that big breakout performance yet. That's the difference between him and Seth Rollins. You've seen Seth Rollins go out there and do matches with John Cena. You've seen Seth Rollins go out there and do matches with Dolph Ziggler. You've seen Seth Rollins go out there and do matches with lots of different people. You know, and I think that's going to hurt him. I think that's the reason why there's this backlash right now with Roman Reigns, that Roman Reigns hasn't proven himself. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't done it. And that's hurting him in the long run. Meanwhile, you have Daniel Bryan, who just returned from an injury, who basically has not gotten his comeuppance. The guy was the World Heavyweight Champion for a cup of coffee and pretty much had been stripped of the championship due to injury. Well, if he's stripped of the title, you would think that he comes back. Oh, WWE needs to give this guy a chance to get a championship match for the championship that he never lost. But I doubt that's going to happen.
You know, the one thing I think about when I think of Roman Reigns is, does he have the charisma to be a top star? And I know sometimes we don't have the most charismatic guys be on top of the card, but I just don't think he translates well in terms of charisma. Is he the guy that people really want to get behind? And I just don't see it. And I feel like he's being force-fed to us. And people might say, you know, they force-fed us John Cena. They force-fed us Randy Orton over the years, Triple H. And eventually they clicked. But I can think of The Rock was force-fed down our throats until he turned to the Nation of Domination and became The Rock. But then I'm thinking, the guys that I just mentioned have charisma. They have that it entity that I'm not sure Roman Reigns has. I'm not saying he couldn't become a main event player, and he might be the main event player by default. You know, you're going to have Brock Lesnar leaving here very, very soon. He's probably going to get into that mix, but at the end of the day, when I look at the guy, I just don't see him as a main event player. Like I said, Frank, he might get there, but right now I just feel like he's really being force-fed down our throats.
Yeah, it's like back in the day, and I just had this conversation yesterday with Wayne, one of our friends out there and a good listener and supporter of the GRP, and him and I were on the phone talking about this and said it right there. Roman Reigns is definitely going to have to do something to tweak his character or something. Something right now is not flowing right. And the Vince McMahon scripted promos didn't help the situation. I mean, Roman Reigns went into the Rumble with a big target on his back. First of all, you have the guy out there working with the Big Slow, number one. Number two, he's up there doing promos, you know, saying suffering succotash and just out to be made a joke. So how do you take a guy that's working with the Big Slow and saying suffering succotash and actually bring him to Philadelphia, which Philadelphia, strong wrestling minds and really favors the heels. You put Roman Reigns in that type of environment, it's not going to be a good one. So, to me, it's just Reigns hasn't earned his stripes, in my opinion. He hasn't. He was a part of the Shield, but and one of the big parts of the Shield that worked was Seth Rollins being the worker he was, that kept all that together. In my view, Roman Reigns is definitely in the near future. He's going to have to turn heel or something. It's going to be like the same thing that happened back in the day with The Rock, when Rocky Maivia first came in, people hated him. He turned with the Nation, found himself. He went babyface and for a little while there, then turned heel again with the McMahons and the corporation. And then when he finally turned, it was a big deal because it had, you know, organically happened. It was a big deal. That's why. Not with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is kind of like, you know, they had that organic there, see, where it was working, where people were getting behind Roman Reigns. And it's like there's a big fan rebel right now. And a lot of it has to do with Daniel Bryan. and the fact that Daniel Bryan is a very sympathetic character, and people want to see Daniel Bryan succeed. And all of a sudden you have this guy here, Roman Reigns, who hasn't done half of what Daniel Bryan has, and yet this guy is being pushed to the moon.
I think you may hit the nail on the head. It's just not organic.
Yeah.
It's being force-fed to us right now. The movement for Roman Reigns, it just doesn't seem real to me. It just seems like this is what Vince wants, or Triple H wants, or whoever it is, the powers that be pushing this guy, and he's just not clicking. It's the fans are not getting behind him. It's just not organic. And I'm thinking, you know, Frank, I think Dolph Ziggler has more fans than Roman Reigns.
Oh, absolutely.
When I think of Dolph Ziggler, it's more organic. People like Dolph Ziggler. He's got charisma. He's a good wrestler. He's got a good look. Got a good shtick. And then I'm thinking, compared to Roman Reigns, I mean, I'd rather watch Dolph Ziggler in the main event at WrestleMania than I would Roman Reigns.
I mean, Dolph Ziggler's another one. I mean, you look at the reaction of the Philadelphia crowd when Dolph Ziggler came out. Dolph Ziggler came out and got a huge reaction. I mean, Dolph Ziggler gets a huge reaction anyways, but he got the
Zach
huge reaction.
Ryder got a bigger Zack Ryder got a bigger reaction than Roman Reigns.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, because these are the people that these are the guys you think about. A guy like Zack Ryder. Here's a guy who basically brought himself up from obscurity. This guy got himself over, which WWE says, oh, well, you know, that brass ring that, you know, reach for the sky. Well, the moment you do that, they screw you. Like, you're not meant to get over. You're not going to get over. So Ryder got himself over, and then what happened to Ryder? Ryder did that mess they had him doing out there with John Cena and completely killed him. These are the guys that people want to see succeed. They don't want a guy like Roman Reigns. See, Roman Reigns is a guy who has a good look. He's a good-looking guy. You think people actually, the male audience out there actually wants to see this guy succeed? Really?
I guess I just have to get to the point where I have to realize that WrestleMania is not WrestleMania.
Well, can I interject something here about WrestleMania while it's on my mind?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So I was reading the net over the weekend, and, you know, sometimes some stuff is true, sometimes stuff is not. But I tend to believe this story to be true. WWE is no longer going to be branding WrestleMania by numbers anymore. Did you hear that story?
Absolutely stupid.
Yeah. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Vince McMahon has a mentality right now, and he says that the fans think of WrestleMania and you put numbers behind it. They just think that it's an old event and they don't want to come. I'm thinking to myself, dude, you know the Super Bowl out there, right? The Super Bowl is branded with numbers. And the Super
49.
Bowl 49, there you go. Super Bowl 49 was yesterday, and it was marred in controversy, as usual, but people still went to the show. People still watched it. I don't understand. I mean, to me, it's like if something happens and it's in WrestleMania, you know what show it is because you go by the number. Hey, you remember what happened when Hogan beat Sergeant Slaughter at WrestleMania 7? Or you remember when Hogan wrestled The Rock at 18? Oh, well, remember that play button from this year, see, WrestleMania in 2015, that play button? Well, that's how we'll know about this year's WrestleMania. Or next year in WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. Hey, you remember the star that they used for WrestleMania 32? That's how they're going to brand it from now on, with these damn symbols and all this other crap. Completely asinine. That just shows you the mentality of the people running the show.
Well, we just ran the poll at GirlWig.net. Is Vince McMahon out of touch?
Hell yes. Did you have that on there as an answer? Hell yes.
Well, I didn't have that as a specific answer, but 89% said yes.
Yeah, I agree with those 89.
Over 1,000 people. We had 1,145 total votes, 1,017 votes for yes, only 128 people. That's probably the Vince McMahon family that voted no. But, yeah, I mean, Super Bowl 49. So that means Super Bowl started in the 60s. Does that sound too old? We don't want to refer to it as the Super Bowl 49 because that means it's been almost 50 years of the Super Bowl. We can't have that. That's the same mentality you're thinking about WrestleMania. Now we're at WrestleMania, what, 31, 32, 30? Now that's getting too old. I mean, what is UFC up to, 183?
Something like that, yeah.
Are they going to say, hey, that sounds too old? I mean, eventually they probably have to start naming their shows. I mean, UFC 255? I mean, I don't know, but right now there's no reason to change branding WrestleMania 31, 32, 33. I saw the same report, Frank, and it was actually at Gerwig.net as well. And if that is true, that's up there as a Hall of Fame stupidity.
Well, it's just stupid to me. It's like everything that's special about WrestleMania, you're stripping it You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, first we had the Undertaker streak end last year, which is a big blow to Mania. It really is. It, I mean, it's huge because I used to look forward to who, if Taker's going to do a one-man match, who's going to be in that match, and is Taker going to be able to pull it out? You don't have that anymore. And all of a sudden now, oh, well, it's not going to be branded as WrestleMania 31. It's just going to be WrestleMania here on out. And I think that is just the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
I think it really shows that WrestleMania is not special anymore. And this year, if it's WrestleMania's $9.99, and the best they can give me is Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, there's no Undertaker match. As far as putting the streak on the line, there seems to be nothing special about WrestleMania anymore. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's just another show, Frank.
If that's the case, that's sad because now that the Royal Rumble is not special anymore. There's nothing special about the Rumble anymore. The Rumble used to be cool. Honestly, I think the Royal Rumble was cooler when I was a kid because I didn't know as much about the business as I do now. And everybody on the Rumble, I used to look at it and be like, oh, okay, well, this guy can win, that guy can win, this guy can win, that guy can win. Now, yeah, you know you're top three or four people that actually have a chance, and you know the rest of them are nothing but bodies.
That's why I really think they need to have a surprise one year. That totally puts a monkey wrench, because I thought this year was very predictable. I think it was either going to be Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan. I really couldn't see anybody else winning. You know, we ran the poll at Gerwig.net, and I don't know why. I just put Sting in there because Sting is around, and people thought Sting was going to win the poll. And I was thinking, you know, Sting versus Brock Lesnar, they couldn't do – that's probably one of the better matchups they could put on for WrestleMania.
Right.
I mean, I'd rather see Sting versus Brock Lesnar. I mean, the mentality to me right now is Brock Lesnar's leaving, right?
Right.
WrestleMania is probably going to be his final match for now. So Brock Lesnar is going to get jobbed out. And if he only can do a short match, you know, do 5-10 minutes with Sting versus Brock Lesnar, Sting wins the championship, he could say, hey, I came back to win the championship. I'd never been in WWE before. I was a surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble. And one of the things I've never accomplished before was win the WWE championship. I do it on the biggest stage at WrestleMania. To me, this year's WrestleMania would mean a lot more if it was Sting. And Sting's only going to be around for a short time. You could do Roman Reigns for somebody next year in the main event. But I think as far as a marquee draw, Lesnar versus Sting has more appeal to me than Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. But like I'm saying, Frank, if WrestleMania is only worth $9.99, then what's the importance of putting on your top matches because it's just another show?
Well, honestly, I don't think it has necessarily to do with the fact that it's $9.99. It's just that simple fact to do that WWE has no stars. They have created no stars. I mean, people can say, well, they got Seth Rollins, they got, you know, Roman Reigns, they got Bray Wyatt, whatever. First of all, I'm not really digging Bray Wyatt right now. I haven't dug Bray Wyatt since Bray Wyatt got jobbed out to John Cena at WrestleMania last year. And then they did the stupid thing with the little kid at the cage match he had, and it's just a lot of goofy stuff. So I'm not really digging Bray Wyatt. The Wyatt family, they screwed up and got rid of for whatever reason, so I'm not doing it. You know, Sting and Lesnar, that would be a marquee match, but would that necessarily be a good match? I don't know. Would people justify Sting being the WWE champion at this point in his career? Probably not. I think that would probably be a huge backlash with the people.
Well, you've had Brock Lesnar. He's a part-time wrestler anyways, so... why not?
Yeah, but...
I'm just talking Brock versus Sting is a bigger match than Brock versus Roman Reigns.
Well, anything is bigger than Brock versus Roman Reigns. I mean, my original idea I floated around was Brian versus Brock. Because you know that Brock Lesnar would have bumped his ass off making Daniel Bryan look good. And then at the end, you have the swerve. You have Seth Rollins come in and curb stomp Daniel Bryan and got the belt.
Yeah, one theory you're telling me that you've been thinking about is Roman Reigns wins the championship from Lesnar. Seth Rollins cashes in his Money in the Bank opportunity. He beats Roman Reigns, and then you at least delay Roman Reigns having the longer reign with the WWE championship for a while.
Exactly. You have Roman Reigns have his moment, and then you take that moment away from him. And then you have the people maybe get behind Roman Reigns that way. But ultimately, it all leads back to Daniel Bryan. It all leads back to Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins putting on a 5-star clinic in the ring. You got to get Roman Reigns away from this whatever they're trying to do with him. It's not time yet. It would have been maybe time next year, but right now it's not time. The guy just came back from an injury. Only thing he's done is with the big slow. He's not ready.
Well, let me say this, because I remember when they launched WWE Network, I remember Dana White saying, I can't believe anything we would produce would be worth just $9.99. And he got a lot of slack from the wrestling community out there. And now I'm thinking that he may be right in terms of WrestleMania. Your biggest show of the year is $9.99. There's nothing special about WrestleMania. It's just another show. I mean, literally, Royal Rumble is just another show. Survivor Series was free for the month. I believe February, new subscribers can get the network for free this month, which I understand is part of you launching your service. You offer a free month of service. But no, it's just the point. Royal Rumble was $9.99. Survivor Series was free. This year's WrestleMania, $9.99, and probably going to be $9.99 in the future, Frank. I just think that really does speak that WrestleMania is not anything special anymore. It's just another pay-per-view, which is, they don't really call them pay-per-views anymore. It's just another show on the WWE Network.
True.
So I think it's lost a lot of luster, certainly over the years, because of the depleted roster. I mean, you were talking about when you were a kid, Royal Rumble. I mean, yeah, you go back and watch a 1990 Royal Rumble or a 1993 Royal Rumble with all the stars in a match like that, or from the late 80s, the roster that WWF had at that time compared to where it is today. I mean, every year now, Frank, it's two or three guys have a chance to win the Royal. That's it. You got 30 guys, and you got some surprises, which was nice. I was glad to see DDP out there again. Too bad he didn't get the reaction he really deserves. But at the end of the day, every year it's two or three guys have a chance to win the Rumble. They really need to have a wild card win the Royal Rumble. That's why I thought this year could have been Sting. I understand what you're saying. You know, Sting versus Lesnar is probably not a great match. I'm not really sure Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns will be that good of a match either.
They won't.
I think it's going to be very disappointing as far as a main event. I don't know. I guess that's going to be the main event, because what else do they really have to put in the main event this year?
Well, Triple H versus Sting is not a main event.
No.
It's
not. If Undertaker wrestles Bray Wyatt, that's not a main event either.
No. Nothing at this point with The Undertaker, unless it's for a championship match, is not main event at WrestleMania. It's not.
No.
And that's what we heard, Taker. And if you're like Frank D, and you listen to different podcasts out there, and you hear what they have to say about Taker, and you've looked at the recent pictures of The Undertaker, you kind of say, my gosh, just let the guy stay retired if he's retired.
Yeah, that's true. It looks like The Undertaker's lost a little muscle mass. He's looking a lot older, not in quite the same shape we're used to seeing The Undertaker. And I can't agree, Frank. The streak is over, and Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, the only thing that really makes sense for Undertaker would be Sting, and they're not doing that. So, boy, this WrestleMania.
Isn't it mind-boggling to you, Steve, that the company that says you listen to your fans, you really don't listen to your fans, because your fans were not clamoring, and some of them are still not clamoring, to see Triple H versus Sting. They wanted to see Sting versus Taker. And if you were going to do a match, why not do Sting versus Undertaker if you're going to do it? But they don't want to.
What else do you have?
Yeah.
That's the only thing you have. Okay, Sting versus Triple H. Okay, all right, I guess. I mean, we've never seen it before, but it still doesn't have the same luster as Undertaker versus Sting.
Yeah.
So, it's mind-boggling where WrestleMania is in this. I mean, last year lost a lot of luster, again, with Undertaker losing the streak, which I really still don't understand. I'm still shaking my head on that one. I mean, if Undertaker says to Vince, hey, Vince, I don't want to retire with the streak intact, and I better lose this year because I don't know what condition I'll be in for this year's WrestleMania, which, again, what Frank's saying, if you look at him, the pictures, he's saying he's fine. He's refuting all these online reports, but looking at the picture of this guy saying on the field at a University of Texas football game, it doesn't look like he's ready for WrestleMania this year. And I guess, Frank, if he's going to be wrestling at WrestleMania, he's going to have to be back in the mix here very soon.
Yeah, if I were Taker, I would have just stayed off until next year, 32. That's what I would have done. let the guy enjoy. Let the guy build himself up until 32. Because right now, if I'm the Undertaker and I've put my body through all this hell for all these years, I want to sit back and chill. And right now, it's like, you know, people are saying, you know, Taker has all this gray hair and all that. Well, how long has Taker actually had this gray hair? Because you know what? The guy does dye his hair when he comes back to perform.
Sure.
So I think a lot of people were just like, oh, look at Taker. You know, Taker looks like, you know, Doc Brown from Back to the Future. You know?
He kind of does.
But it's like, I say leave Taker alone. Let the guy go enjoy the fruits of his labor. You know, there's no point of Taker coming back right now. I don't want to see him right now. I'd rather him come back. If he's going to have one more match, one final hurrah, let it be in Dallas. Let it be at WrestleMania 32. There's no need for Taker this year.
Not on this card. There's nothing special about this card. It's just another show. Honestly, I mean, again, you take away the three-way dance for the title. Royal Rumble was just another show. The crowd was great in Philadelphia because they were so into the show and they popped and didn't pop at odd times, but it was just another show. Royal Rumble doesn't have the same appeal as it once did. Survivor Series has lost its luster. WrestleMania doesn't seem like anything special. SummerSlam is just another show. And I guess that's why the pay-per-view market's dying out, and that's your $9.99 now. That's the best you can deliver right now.
Well, WWE probably realized that, but also WWE did the network also to cut the middleman out, you know? They got tired of paying in demand and all the different subscribers. So it was just time to cut the middleman out and take the profit, you know?
Sure. And speaking of the WWE Network, they did announce kind of a weird timing, because if you watched Royal Rumble and you went on social media all over the place, you were seeing canceled WWE Network. A lot of fans were very upset. At Gerwig.net, our poll is, what did you think of the Royal Rumble? F was the grade that people gave the show, which I thought was a little harsh. I wouldn't say it was an A show. I wouldn't say it was a B show. It was probably somewhere in the middle. I mean, if one thing is, I talked to a friend of mine in the wrestling business a while back, and I said, I guess it was right after Royal Rumble. I said, what did you think of Royal Rumble? He said, well, what did you think of Royal Rumble? And I said, well, it wasn't anything special. And he said, you know what? I enjoyed the show because I had my expectations so low that anything after that was going to be good. And I said, yeah, I guess if you go into a show with your expectations of virtually no expectations, the show is probably going to be pretty good. If, you know, you and I have grown up watching Royal Rumble, watching WrestleMania, watching Survivor Series, watching SummerSlam as big events. I mean, I was watching the other day, I was watching Bret Hart versus the British Bulldog at SummerSlam 92, or watching Owen versus Bret at WrestleMania 10. I mean, those are shows that just blow you away. Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 15 in Philadelphia, which I was there that night. And we have to put our expectations down so low so that we're not totally disappointed with the show. And that's how I kind of viewed Royal Rumble. I don't know what your overall opinion was, Frank, on the show, but I thought F was a harsh grade, and I think a lot of that was backlash that fans wanted Daniel Bryan and that fans are just not digging Roman Reigns right now.
Here's the thing, and I was actually, once again, talking to Wayne about this yesterday. It's like this. For $9.99, it was a pretty good show. Because it's $9.99. For $9.99, I could get the Royal Rumble. I can get Survivor Series. I can get WrestleMania for $9.99. Okay? That's all it is. It's kind of like what you said earlier, what Dana White says, I don't think I have anything for $9.99 that's on my show. Well, apparently WWE feels that their big events are only worth $10 now because they don't have the creativity anymore to push it the envelope like they did back in the Attitude Era. I thought, honestly, coming out of the Rumble the other day, looking back on it, I'm like, you know something? This show may not have ended the way I wanted it to as far as Roman Reigns goes, but hell, man, I got it for $9.99. So what am I going to complain about? I got it with a subscription to the network, which I could get other content as well. I could get Nitro, you know, from, you know, the Nitros they have on there. I could get all the pay-per-views over the years. This Royal Rumble show is put in the on-demand archive, you know, within the next 5 or 10 minutes after it aired live. I can't really complain. I can't really, you know what I'm saying? I really can't complain about this. because I only got it for $10. It's not like I'm paying $55 or $59 for the pay-per-view. I got it for $9.99. So
you can have that argument. You can have the argument, I only paid $10. I'm used to paying $50. And I'm thinking, yeah, boy, if you would have paid $50 for the show, what would you have thought?
I would have been pissed. I would have been mad about it. But here's the thing. I only paid $9.99 for it. It was a part of my subscription, along with all the other things that I watched for the network. So I'm not really complaining about it. Because here's a guy and myself, I never really even used to order any of the pay-per-views. I used to skip them all the time. So the pay-per-views sucked, but hey, it was only $10. Who cares?
But that just speaks to the point. Your expectations are lower because you paid $10.
Yep.
But I mean, if you analyze this Royal Rumble versus other Royal Rumbles in the past, it sucked.
Sure did.
And I can see why people say it's an F. I think that's harsh. I wouldn't give it an F. But I certainly wouldn't give it an A. I wouldn't say it was a great show by any stretch. I mean, really, the only thing that really blew me away on that show is Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, to be honest with you.
Right.
I think John Cena was anything special in that match. I mean, you take that match off, and I know you can't because it's part of the show, but, I mean, that was the show.
Yeah.
The Royal Rumble, the way they booked the Royal Rumble boggled my brain. I mean, you got the surprises out early. You got Daniel Bryan in and out early, which made the fans totally revolt. You had the final four of the Big Show and Kane. When you know they have no chance of winning, why are they out there?
Right.
And I'm thinking with The Rock coming back, and you still had Kane and Big Show, they are setting up Roman Reigns and The Rock versus the Big Show and Kane. Of course, they didn't go in that direction. You got The Rock out there trying to save Roman Reigns' Royal Rumble victory to mean something. They're totally crapping on the show. It's just... Yeah, if your mentality is I only pay $10, okay, then you only pay $10. But again, this is where we are in 2015. This is why we have a 2.6 rating for Raw, because our expectations are so much lower than they used to be. And it's sad that we're talking this way, because if you're a wrestling fan from today, if you're 13, 14, 15, you don't understand how important Royal Rumble was, or WrestleMania was, or the SummerSlam events were back in the day. And maybe you'll see that when you go back into the WWE Network for your $9.99 and you watch a classic WrestleMania or a classic Royal Rumble. But today, I guess we still have this mentality of these shows are still A shows. And really, they're not anymore, Frank. That's what we have to get past is WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam. They're not A shows. There's just another show that you get for your $9.99 a month. And that's the bottom line. That's pretty much it right now.
See, when you have a situation where I get hyped watching WrestleMania 6, and you know, I could care less about WrestleMania this year, and I'll tell you something. You know, back in the day, Royal Rumble used to be a big deal. Back in the day, the Survivor Series was a big deal. Back in the day, you know, King of the Ring was a big deal. Back in the day, WrestleMania was a huge deal. It's not anymore. It's not. I mean, and that's the reason why it's like, it's for $9.99 now. It's not a big deal anymore.
They don't even want to number the WrestleManias anymore. Maybe that's why, because they're all dull.
Pretty much. I mean, what was the last?
Right?
I mean, when people will say all the time, "When's the last good WrestleMania you saw?" I'm really torn between 17 and 18.
And what is that now? That's 14 years ago.
Right.
I guess that maybe that's why they're getting rid of the labels and the numbers, because. But the last decade have been just blah WrestleManias.
Yeah, I mean, anything with John Cena sucks.
And now it's going to be anything with Roman Reigns sucks.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, I have the network because I can go back and look at that, all the old stuff from $9.99 and this month on the WWE Network. They got Black History Month, and they got a lot of stuff. I mean, as we're doing the show right now, I'm looking at Mid-South. You know, looking at Mid-South, I just watched some Global. I just watched some WCW main event. You know, they have a whole section there, and it's like, that's the stuff that I want to watch. I don't really care about watching Roman Reigns out there, and Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns against anybody, to be honest with you.
And, of course, speaking with the network, and, you know, it was just so odd that after Royal Rumble, people were putting cancel WWE Network. A lot of people backlashed with Royal Rumble. And then they announced, we have 1 million subscribers now. And I guess what people have to realize is it didn't – if people – after the Royal Rumble canceled their subscription, it didn't reflect in the 1 million count. That 1 million count wasn't as of day after the Royal Rumble. That was whatever it was, the period that they were measuring. So they got to the $1 million marker, which is good for them. But right now, Frank, as we're talking, I'm sure they don't have 1 million subscribers right now.
No, probably not. But that number is going to go back up as we get closer to Mania. All the people out there that are complaining right now, and they're saying, "Oh, I'm going to skip Mania this year." Yeah, that will be, you'll be subscribing.
With it being the WWE Network, one of the hooks for February, and I'm sure it's not the Fastlane pay-per-view or whatever it's called, is tonight, as we're recording this, there's going to be a special podcast with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H. And the only question is, will this come near what they did with Vince McMahon? I thought Vince McMahon's podcast was very awkward. Vince tried to answer things truthfully, but a lot of times it was just, how do I dance around this without actually answering the questions? So I guess what's your overall expectations for Triple H on the Stone Cold podcast?
My overall expectations of it is that Triple H is going to be Triple H. And Stone Cold is going to be Stone Cold. And what I mean by that is that Stone Cold is not going to take any BS from Triple H. If he asks Triple H a question, Triple H needs to answer the question and not be evasive, because Triple H is very evasive when it comes to some questions he might not want to answer, or in reality trying to protect the business. Well, here's the deal. When you're Triple H and you're sitting at ringside trying to do your job as a heel, and some little kid is heckling you, and all of a sudden you tell the kid something, and you're not even really being rude to the kid, and the kid starts crying, I mean, you have to break character to console him. That right there kills kayfabe. So there's no reason for Triple H to go into this interview tonight trying to be kayfabe. We need to keep it 1,000 with people and tell people the real story.
Like we do here, we keep it real.
Exactly.
We tell it like it is. And then I guess the question after they do Triple H is, where do they go with the third round? Who do you think is the third biggest name they might have on the Stone Cold podcast?
I would bring on John Cena.
John Cena.
Yep. And just sit down interview with John Cena, and just have Austin just ask Cena the tough questions and just get it out the way. I think that this series, you know, see, we were kind of thinking about we should do the Live Wire show, bring that back and interaction with the fans. Well, I think that this is probably the closest you're going to get to that right now with the Stone Cold podcast. And Austin's been very good at answering questions that, you know, fans want to know. I mean, he did the Randy Savage question with Vince McMahon on the show. So
true.
I think that's the future right now with that goes. And I think it's a really good branding tool for WWE. It's a branding tool for Stone Cold's podcast. And a lot of people who may not necessarily listen to Austin's podcast can actually watch him do it live on the network. I think it's pretty good. And Austin is going to get these big guests. He's going to get, you know, Triple H. He's going to get Stephanie McMahon. He'll get the John Cena. He'll get an Undertaker to answer all the questions that people want to know. So I think after Triple H, it depends on what Triple H does tonight. I think the next one, obviously, will be John Cena.
Okay, I was thinking either John Cena or Stephanie. If they had a truthfully honest Stephanie McMahon sit-down interview, it could be entertaining, but I don't know. Maybe John Cena should be the third guy.
I think John Cena is John Cena, whether people like it or not, people can say, you know, it's Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is going to be up next for the push. John Cena is still the face of that company. That company is still John Cena. So John Cena should be the next guy. And I think if you put somebody on there after Cena, who's the next guy that they could probably do an interview with, you know, why not bring on, you know, a Sting or somebody on there?
The wild card, and I don't think they'll do it right now because the way things transpired with this individual, but the guy that I think would make a really good interview that a lot of people would definitely want to tune in and listen to would be Shane McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I don't think so. I honestly think that Shane has moved on.
Sure seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. You don't hear anything about Shane. I think Shane's moved on. I cannot fathom that Shane McMahon is happy that Triple H is the heir to the throne with Stephanie. I just don't think he's happy about that. He'll never admit that, but I think that plays a role.
I tend to agree with you. And, of course, after Royal Rumble, they had the snow delay, the cancellation of a Raw in Connecticut, and they went to a studio show. And some people, when the rating came out, people were like, hey, that did a better show. It had no first-run matches. And yet some people complained because I just paid $9.99 to see the Royal Rumble, and they're giving it for free on USA Network. What'd you think of the show, the studio show, and then the rating the show did?
I didn't even see the studio show. I was knocked out. That's the week I
under
was
the
sick.
Weather.
Yeah,
that's
I was.
Right.
I was sick. So I didn't even watch it. I turned all wrestling off. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I didn't see it. I heard about it, but I didn't see it. And people were complaining about seeing the network, the Royal Rumble on the network. Listen, it doesn't matter. I mean, who cares? WWE was in a tough spot. They canceled the show because it was a travel ban due to the blizzard that was coming through the area. They had no choice. You know, it was a short notice type of situation. So they had to put up there what they had. What do we have in the archive we can put up right now? Oh, let's put the Royal Rumble up. So they did. So what?
Some people suggested put up NXT. That would have been a better show than what they could have put on.
They could have put up NXT. They could have put up an old episode of Raw. Could have anything they wanted to.
Yeah, I think when you're in a situation where you're snowed out and you still have to produce a three-hour show, I think you got to cut them a little bit of slack on that one.
Exactly. I have to cut them a lot of slack on it. Because either way it goes, if they had done a live show, I probably wouldn't even watch it. I would have watched it on a DVR basis. So it doesn't really matter to me. And maybe they need that 1 week off anyways to come back.
If I paid $50 and they showed most of the show for free the next night, I would be upset. Right. As we've seen before in wrestling. What was the night when was the WCW when Halloween Havoc, right? They got cut off.
Right.
The next night they showed. But then again, a lot of people didn't see the conclusion of the DDP Goldberg match,
right?
They
cut off. Nobody saw it.
So, yeah, I paid the money to see it, but
you
saw
everything up until that point.
I didn't see the finish of the main event. That was you. I mean, typically the main event is the main event. That's the match you most want to see on the show.
All right.
Although back in the WCW days, a lot of times the undercard was the main event. But,
sure.
But I mean, it's not unprecedented that they would show a pay-per-view or pay-per-view matches the next night on a live TV show.
Well, you know something, Steve? Honestly, this could have worked out perfect for them, WWE, though, because they were going with such a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of fans after the Rumble. So that cancellation of Raw actually might have helped them. It gives fans that are angry at time to cool down so that they come into tonight's show. Maybe Roman Reigns won't get that negative reaction.
But it may have given Vince McMahon more time to write a Porky Pig promo for Roman Reigns.
Right. Probably so.
You never know. Yeah, it could work out the other way, too. So we'll of course, find out tonight on Monday Night Raw. And then, of course, after that, you can watch a Triple H podcast on the WWE Network. If you're subscribing, what's the price of the network again?
I believe it might be $9.99.
Okay, yeah, that's it. I almost forgot there. So.
But I also want to let the people out there right now know that are listening to us that you can go over to audibletrial.com/Gerwick.net, get a free audiobook, you sign up for the service. And Steve, even if you don't keep the service, you still get to keep the book that you chose. So it's a very good deal right now. audibletrial.com/Gerwick.net. You help out the podcast when you sign up for that using our exclusive URL, audibletrial.com/Gerwick.net. That's GERWECK.net.
And, of course, we'll plug that at Gerwick.net. We're going to plug it on our Twitter, which is Gerwick Report on Twitter. And I just put the link up at our Facebook discussion group as well. So if you check us out there, the link is there. Just click the link, get your free Audible book, and you're all ready to go.
Exactly. And also, you can check us out, as Steve just mentioned there, on the Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/Gerwick Report Podcast. So we're doing big things right here in 2015, and we're going to continue to do that.
And as I said before, very soon, the Gerwick Report t-shirts, they're coming. I can see the vignette of a star coming soon. Well, coming soon will be the GRP t-shirt, so stay tuned for that. I'm looking forward to that, Frank.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
We've got a couple nice designs already out there, and you look really good on a t-shirt. So
yep.
That'd be another way you can support the GRP. Besides going to Audible and sign up for your free book, you can buy a t-shirt as well. So
Absolutely. So
buy the shirt.
Yeah, buy the shirt.
As soon as we get that up and launched, I want to mention that the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, for the month of January, received the necessary percentage to be voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Jimmy Hart. And for the month of February, Frank, it was people would suggest Midnight Express. And we had this discussion before. I think I might even put it on the Facebook discussion group, is how do I present the Midnight Express to the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame balloting? I mean, there's different forms of the Midnight Express. It was a faction at one time with Jake the Snake. It was Eaton and Condry. It was Eaton and Lane. But we went with probably the most decorated form of the Midnight Express. That was Dennis Condry and beautiful Bobby Eaton. And so for this month, you can decide if the Midnight Express, Eaton and Condry, should be voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. And we just had Bobby Eaton on, you know, plug one of our previous interviews at Gerwick Report. So definitely check that out at the archives. Frank, I got to say, any form of Midnight Express should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm partial to Bobby Eaton and Sweet Stan. So that's just my take. But, hey, I'm a fan of the Midnight Express either way it goes.
I have to say, I slightly am too, but I did like Condry. And Condry was the first guy I really remember with the Midnight Express when I first started watching the Turner shows. It was Condry, Eaton, and, of course, Jim Cornette. So, but any form of the Midnight Express, anytime you got a Bobby Eaton in your tag team, you know the tag team is phenomenal.
All right.
So I definitely would recommend that. And I guess for the future, you know, Booker T is in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, but the Harlem Heat is not. And we only have a handful of tag teams in our Hall of Fame. If you guys would like to see Harlem Heat on the ballot for the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, we got already start taking some votes for March. You can definitely vote for Harlem Heat, one of the greatest tag teams in the history of tag teams. And, of course, now you were telling me, Frank, that the Harlem Heat, or the Ebony Express, as they were known back in the Texas days, you can watch their footage. The global footage is now available at WWE Network.
Right. Just got done watching an episode of Global a minute ago. So, yeah, it's up there right now in the vault section of the WWE Network. You check it out. It's under Black History Month. So they got some up there right now with, you know, Booker T, Stevie Ray. They got Junkyard Dog, of course, Ernie Ladd, you know, Ron Simmons. They actually show the episode of Main Event where Ron Simmons wins the WCW title from Vader. A lot of good stuff up there right now on the network for Black History Month. So go check it out right now.
I almost feel like the WWE Network should be a sponsor at Gerwick.net or the GRP.
I mean, we show
a pretty good show for them, right?
Yeah, we show it for $9.99. Yeah.
All the content, including the live shows every month, for just what was the price again?
$9.99.
Wow, there you go. So if that's something that interests you, you can do that at WWE Network. As I said, for February, and I believe they specified this time new subscribers.
Right.
Because I know
subscribers.
You and I had our subscription run out, and then we could get on for November for free. But now they're saying new subscribers. So if you've never subscribed to the network, you can get the network service for February for free.
Right.
But you have to be a new subscriber.
Exactly. And a new subscriber constitutes of you getting a new email address and going from there. That's pretty much all it is.
That's the way around that new subscriber
exactly.
business, right?
Yep.
Also, I want to mention, during the blackout of Monday night when they were not live on Raw last week, they did announce during the day that Arnold Schwarzenegger, a guy you know very well, you being in California, and he, of course, was the governor out there.
The governor.
The governor will be going into the Hall of Fame this year, I guess, along with Randy Savage.
Right.
It got us to think, because I ran the poll at Gerwick.net, does Schwarzenegger belong in the WWE Hall of Fame? And 58% said no. I don't think he does either. I can't, that one kind of boggled my brain. I mean, he was on TV for a short period, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. But got us to thinking, Frank, is, you know, what celebrities do belong in the Hall of Fame? And I said to you, I definitely think Mike Tyson belongs in the Hall of Fame, really helped to turn around WWE's fortune. I also think that Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame, became a gimmick with Kane, working with Kane at WrestleMania. And who was the other guy you said belongs in the Hall of Fame from celebrity?
Dennis Rodman.
And Dennis Rodman is another name out there. But beyond that, the celebrity wing, I mean, we've got, Drew Carey in there, and we got Bob Uecker, who was on the early WrestleManias. And I'm thinking, Frank, you know, Mary Hart was part of the same WrestleMania as Bob Uecker, which I think was WrestleMania 3. Are they going to put Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight in the Hall of Fame? I think the celebrity wing is very unnecessary. And after they announced Schwarzenegger for the WWE Hall of Fame, I went on our Facebook discussion group and I put the picture up for Davey Boy Smith. And I just say, the people that belong in your Hall of Fame, put them in the Hall of Fame before you put in celebrities who are only there for a short time. Davey Boy Smith, Owen Hart. This year we get Randy Savage. Let's Rick Rude. Let's put the guys that belong in the Hall of Fame in the Hall of Fame first before you even care about the celebrity wing.
Right, the actual workers who make this all possible, right? Yeah, I know. What a far-fetched idea. you know, the thing with Schwarzenegger, the reason why Schwarzenegger is going in is simply because they're going to be out here in California. That's why. And Schwarzenegger used to be the governor of California. That's, you know, that's pretty much it. They need a hook for the Hall of Fame this year. So Schwarzenegger will go in. But if you think about somebody, you know, I have two guys here for the celebrity wing, and I want to, you know, give you the reasons why I want to put them in. The first one, obviously, would be the Worm, Dennis Rodman. And it's obvious why Rodman should go in there. Rodman was a very big part of WCW during a time when WCW was cool. He was part of the NWO. He brought the NWO, you know, to the masses as far as the Chicago fans with the Bulls, and he did the high-profile match with the Big Slow and Lex Luger at Bash at the Beach 97. Came back the next year and did it with Karl Malone and DDP, and he also worked that match, which would actually be Savage's last match. He worked that with, I believe, at the Road Wild 99 on Sturgis. So I think Rodman should go in, definitely. Rodman should be in the in WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, you love the guy or hate the guy. The guy was a big part of WCW. He was a huge part of NWO. Next guy that I think that should be in the celebrity wing is Regis Philbin. I think if there's anybody that was a big supporter of the WWE and a big supporter of the World Wrestling Federation, and have these guys come on the show, it was Regis Philbin. So I think Regis should get some respect for that. And if I go that far in saying that, I would also dare say Arsenio Hall.
Raise the roof.
Yep. Arsenio Hall had a lot of wrestlers. I mean, look at Randy Savage was on there, Rick Rude, Bad News Allen. I believe Akeem African Dream was on there with Slick. You know, I believe you had the Ultimate Warrior was on there, Hulk Hogan. You name it, they all went through there. So Regis Philbin, Dennis Rodman, and Arsenio Hall. Those are three people I think should go to the celebrity wing.
What do you think the Schwarzenegger announcement? Because the Schwarzenegger announcement just kind of caught me off guard. I was not expecting that name to be announced. Do you think it's merely because WrestleMania is in California this year?
As I said before, yeah. That's definitely the reason why. I believe it's because it's in California, yeah.
So that's the only reason. What did he really bring to the table to WWE?
Outside of being on SmackDown and hold up the WWE Championship belt, I don't really see anything. He didn't really bring anything to it. I mean, if you got to put Schwarzenegger in there for an appearance, then you got to put in Bob Barker.
I definitely agree with that as well.
Or Alex Trebek. You know, Alex Trebek, he was one of he was an interviewer for WrestleMania 7.
But I would definitely like to see them put in, as you said, the workers into the Hall of Fame before they put in all the celebrities into the wing.
Here's the deal. It's a lot easier, Steve, to put in a celebrity because the celebrity doesn't have the politics that goes with being a worker. See, the worker is somebody who has went out there and worked for Vince, and they went over to Turner and kind of badmouthed the company or something. So it's a lot of political and personal things that go into Vince putting in a wrestler. Not so much a celebrity.
Politics? In wrestling?
Absolutely.
In the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Big time. Oh, yeah.
And that's why I always put over my Hall of Fame, because we exclude the politics. Do you belong in the Hall of Fame based on the merits of your career, managerial career, announcing career, in-ring career, etc.? And right. That's it. And you vote. It's not just Vince McMahon says, you know, I think Schwarzenegger should go in the Hall of Fame this year. And they say, great idea, Mr. McMahon. Let's do that.
Yeah.
How about putting in the people who really belong in the Hall of Fame? I mean, they finally got Savage in. Now let's get the other guys in that belong in the Hall of Fame as well.
Exactly. So now it's like, you know, when Savage gets inducted this year, it's like, we finally got that one solved. Oh, we got to bring up the Bulldog. We got to bring up Owen. We got to bring up Rick Rude. And out of all those guys, I think the one that's going to be the hardest to get in is going to be Owen.
I agree. Totally agree. Although I think Brett has said that he thought maybe Owen gets in as part of the Hart Foundation.
You know, that would be good, but you know, Owen needs to go on his own.
I agree. And that's my gripes with factions is to take away from the individual character. I mean, Owen belongs in based on his singles career and his tag team career.
Yeah,
he made a gimmick out of the Slammies.
He made a gimmick out of the Slammies. Yeah, exactly. and speaking of this year's Hall of Fame, we talk about the Hall of Fame here a lot on the GRP. I'm definitely in favor of them inducting Kevin Nash this year as well.
Big sexy.
Exactly, especially if you're going to do if the rumor is that you're going to do NWO next year, then you got to put Nash in this year on his own.
I think it was Atlee Green in your last podcast was talking that maybe Kevin Nash feels a little bit dissed because his contract suspended over the domestic situation. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, if Kevin Nash is, and I'm a I'm a big Kevin Nash fan. If Nash is pissed off and they can't talk to Nash, you know, and Nash could be working this at the same time, but if he's pissed off and he's not even thinking about a payday, something's really wrong.
One guy who's not going to get in the Hall of Fame anytime soon, and it's something that our friend Cassidy has been posting at Gerwick.net, or I should say been posting at the GRP discussion group page at Facebook, is Chris Benoit. And how do you kind of deal with Chris Benoit? Do you put him in? Do you enjoy the matches? How do you perceive Chris Benoit? But we did see a very strange photograph of Chris Benoit's son at a WWE event. I think it was last year. David Benoit was trying to get into wrestling, and I think there was some people that said, maybe right now is not the time for you, David. Maybe you should sit out. And now we saw at a recent WWE event, I believe it was in Edmonton, David Benoit was backstage, and they posted a picture with him and Chris Jericho, and the guy looks like Chris Benoit. And it's really sad, but I just don't see a Benoit make it in wrestling anymore because of the stigma with his father there. And having the looks of Chris Benoit, I'm not sure is going to help you either, trying to launch your career in this profession. If anybody's seen the picture, then go to Gerwick.net and find it. Just look for David Benoit in the search. It is a pretty eerie photograph.
Yeah, but, here's the thing I look at that, too. Had Chris Benoit not done what Chris Benoit had did, would we necessarily be saying that was an eerie photograph? We necessarily would be saying that the guy looks like Chris Benoit? Probably not.
True.
We would be saying, oh, Benoit has a son. Well, hopefully, Benoit's son is going to be just as good as he is. That's what we would be saying. But, unfortunately, the stigma is still there with what happened with Benoit. Obviously, it's still being felt in WWE because WWE, you can see Chris Benoit on the network, but they don't promote him on the network. So
not at all.
It's just bad. And, unfortunately, I don't see it happening. It's sad that this kid wants to pursue the business that his dad was a big part of, and he can't, at least not right now. At least not with his name, and he looks just too much like Chris. And I don't know if WWE wants to really even deal with that.
And speaking of families, this month, January, I actually did watch a lot of the WWE Network. We always go back to the network, but I did watch a lot of the documentaries, and one was the Greatest Wrestling Families. It was 2 hours plus, and there was zero mention of the Armstrong family. And, I think of the Armstrong curse.
Yeah.
I don't know how, and this was a few years ago, because Carlito was the host of the DVD or the presentation here, and of course he put over the Colon family, which of course he's going to. It's his family. But how do you do a wrestling family's DVD and not mention the Armstrongs?
Don't know.
That one boggled me. I mean, Road Dogg has been a big star in their company for how long? And then you do a DVD, you got Bullet Barb Armstrong in the WWE Hall of Fame. How do you do a DVD on wrestling families and not mention the Armstrongs? I mean, what, Scott Armstrong is still a referee there, right?
Well, here's the thing. Was Scott Armstrong a referee during the time of the filming of this documentary?
Well, I don't know, but even if he's not, and maybe it was because, remember, years ago, Triple H was upset over Road Dogg cutting promos on Triple H on that Shoot DVD. Maybe that was part of it, but I still don't know. The father had nothing to do with that. I mean, you're honoring families. How do you not even mention the Armstrongs in a two-hour presentation on wrestling families? I don't get it. I put it out on Facebook. People are saying, well, maybe they were upset with the Armstrongs, but hey, you're doing a DVD. I mean, personal grudges aside, you're doing a documentary on the greatest wrestling families. You got to mention the Armstrongs in that.
Yeah, but at that time, wasn't Road Dogg in TNA?
Even if he was, what difference does that make?
Yeah, well, the mentality. See, WWE doesn't want to put over anybody that's not affiliated with the company.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
If it was under the Frank D, it would have been on there. But it's not up to me. It's up to that, Vince McMahon and that bucktooth Kevin Dunn. My God, man. I thought Jim Cornette was lying about Kevin Dunn, but I actually went back the other day and watched it Tough Enough on the WWE Network, the special, when they had Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon in there watching them work it out. And, yeah, Kevin Dunn has those bucktooth teeth. He's right. Yeah, he does. Kevin Dunn, yeah. Like Jim Cornette said, yeah, about that damn money, get your teeth fixed, dude.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. He was right.
Maybe he reminds Vince of Bugs Bunny, and thus you get the Looney Tune promos.
I don't know.
Well, we got some questions here, Frank. Our buddy Ravon checked in with us from the last time, and Ravon says, my question is, do you think if Shawn Michaels would have went into WCW along with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall in 1996, do you think he would have been successful?
Well, you had to look at it from a couple of different ways, and actually Steve and I were talking about this offline. You got to look at it from the point of view of if Hall and Nash, if everything would have continued the same way it did, and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were invading WCW, and we get down to Bash at the Beach, and we get down to the reveal of the third guy. Now, if you put Shawn Michaels into the equation, Shawn Michaels necessarily would have been that third guy, and that right there would have been the NWO with Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall. The Hulk Hogan heel turn probably never would have happened because there would have been no point. The only other thing I could see would be a six-man tag with Hall, Nash, and Michaels versus Savage, Luger, and Sting, and then Hogan comes out there and turns on them, and they all four guys the NWO. You can look at it from that point of view as well. But I think that Shawn Michaels would have been a success down there. I think that we would have seen a lot of big matches with him and Savage, him and Hogan. I think you would have saw him versus Flair. You would have saw Michaels working with a lot of different guys. So, yeah, he would have been a success. Absolutely.
I definitely agree. It would have been interesting what they do with NWO with HBK there. And maybe, as you said, Hulk Hogan's not a part of NWO at that time.
Right.
Maybe your invading faction is Hall, Nash, and HBK.
Right.
Click.
Yep.
Interesting thought there. But, yeah, I definitely think Shawn Michaels going in 96 would have been successful. And we talked about with Bret Hart as well. Bret Hart was negotiating with WCW in 96.
Yep.
Wasn't until the end of 97 when Vince basically pushed him out the door that he ended up with WCW. I think if Bret would have landed in WCW in 1996 when they were doing the NWO, I think Bret Hart would have been much more successful in WCW.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's one of those things you got to think about. It all goes back to Bash at the Beach, and it all goes back to who would have been the third guy. And if you really would have been, you would have really had the WWF invading WCW if you would have done that, because you would have had Bret Hart there. You would have had Shawn Michaels there. You would have had these guys. I mean, and who's necessarily to say that Hulk Hogan would not have turned? We probably would have still had him, and then you really would have had the WWF there, because my God, you have Razor, you got Diesel, you got Michaels, you got Hart, and you got Hogan all together as the NWO.
That would have been very interesting.
That would have been a very interesting group.
And then we also have a question this week from Kevin Robert. He started his own Facebook discussion group, and he sent his question over to me, which I said I would discuss here on the podcast, and hopefully everybody over there gets a chance to listen to this podcast as well. But he wants to know if we were starting our own promotion right now and we could contact wrestlers that were not currently under contract to WWE, TNA, or Ring of Honor, which five individuals will we start our promotion with? And I know this is something that, you know, you and I have kind of kicked it around and thought about. Now, you got to remember, these are guys that are not under contract to any of the major three companies in North America. Who would Frank D. bring in if tomorrow you got the bankroll and you say, okay, Frank, who's the first five hires you got for your new promotion? Who would they be?
Okay, well, in saying that, I want to say something first. He mentioned Ring of Honor, he mentioned WWE, he mentioned TNA, but you also have to put in Lucha Underground as well. Because a lot of Lucha Underground contracts are ironclad contracts. So you have to put in those top four. Now, eliminating those four promotions, top of my list, AJ Styles. Who else would I bring in? I would bring in the Young Bucks. I would also bring in Doc Gallows, Luke Gallows. And I would also bring in Alberto Del Rio.
And our lists are very similar. In fact, the first name we both thought of immediately was AJ Styles. And it's amazing to me that AJ Styles is not in TNA right now, or not even with WWE, is kind of mind-boggling. Can you imagine if they brought in AJ Styles to WWE right now, how things would change the landscape a little bit in that company?
Oh, it would be phenomenal. No pun intended.
It would be.
No pun intended.
Yeah, definitely agree. I'm also going to go with Alberto Del Rio. I think he's like the hottest free agent. You see TNA throwing a lot of money at him. Former world champion, of course, with WWE, and had a successful run in Mexico. So obviously I agree there. Well, I'll differ a little bit with Frank, as I'm going to go with Davey Boy Smith Jr. Well, Harry Smith was in WWE. I just watched I just watched the Hart documentary, the Hart family, was Hart and Soul, also in the WWE Network. Made me think of Harry Smith, D.H. Smith. He was, of course, in the New Hart Foundation, the Dynasty. I would definitely bring him in, and I also would bring in Lance Archer, who's currently with New Japan, was in TNA as Lance Hoyt. He, of course, was in WWE as well. And that's four for me. And I would throw a tag team. I also agree with Frank, the Young Bucks. They're just awesome. I mean, yep. No matter who you put them out there with, Red Dragon, they had great matches with them. I believe they had an independent match with the Hardy Boys. I mean, anybody you put them out there with, Kazarian and Daniels, phenomenal matches as well. So these guys are just tremendous. I mean, they kind of remind me of kind of young Hardy Boys to a certain degree. A lot of energy, a lot of excitement, and, you know, when they're in the ring, they're going to deliver a great match. So I would go with those individuals. But it was a very good thought-provoking question.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we enjoy the thought-provoking questions.
Yes. So if you have a thought-provoking question for us here at the Gerwick Report podcast, definitely hit us up. In fact, you have your own email address for the Gerwick Report, don't you, Frank?
Exactly. It's gerwickreport@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at Gerwick Report. Several ways to find us. And if you're actually out there right now and you want to listen to some thought-provoking books, go to audibletrial.com/gerwick.net and sign up right now for the service. Get a free audiobook of your choice. I got over 160,000 titles, I believe, up there right now.
Wow.
A lot of them wrestling-related. You got Hulk Hogan up there with narration by Hulk Hogan himself. You got Junkyard Dog has a book up there. Lex Luger has a book up there. Terry Funk, Chris Jericho. I just got done with the Jericho one myself. I thought it was pretty good. So check it out right now. audibletrial.com/gerwick.net, GERWECK.net. Use our official URL, and you actually support the podcast in doing so.
We always definitely do appreciate your support. You know, follow us on Twitter at Gerwick Report. Follow us on the Facebook group, as Frank has said, groups, facebook.com/group/Gerwick Report podcast. And really, just very simply, go to Gerwick.net. There's a little link that says listen to the Gerwick Report. You click there. All our links are there, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher. You can download us on iTunes as well. And if you also click the 2014 podcast and the 2015 podcast, all our previous podcasts are up there. Just one click away. It has a synopsis of each of the podcasts that we've done, a little graphic to go along with it, and it's just an easy way for you to listen to us currently here on the GRP and as well as our archives. Virtually, they're just, 2-3 clicks away, and you can have all the content for free. Yes, not $9.99, Frank. Free. The Gerwick Report podcast is free, and you can go to gerwick.net and get all the information, all our links. You know, support us through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and now Audible, which we're very happy to be affiliated with Audible And, you know, probably for the future, Frank, maybe look up some of the wrestling titles, because I'm sure the wrestling titles would interest the fans of the GRP out there, as well as some of the nonfiction and fiction books that are out there. So maybe in the future you can bring a list of all the great wrestling books that are available through Audible.
Yeah, definitely we'll work on that. And once again, audibletrial.com/GERWECK.net. And once again, support the podcast here. You know, we bring a lot of stuff up here. You know, we try to do a fairly good job of entertaining you and the guests that we bring on here. So it'd be kind of cool if you guys could continue to show us the support out there. We definitely appreciate you on the GRP.
Absolutely. So again, check us out at GERWECK.net. Check out all our audio partners. If you want to listen to us through Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio currently, you can definitely check out those links. And we thank you for listening to this edition of the GERWECK Report podcast. More podcasts coming soon here at the GRP.
And that's all, folks.